Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. We bless God, we praise God, we magnify God for this, our third night of our seventh night, end of the year, Holy Ghost revival, hallelujah, God. We are just so excited and so ecstatic about what God has been doing, what God is doing, hallelujah, God. We're excited about the men of God who are coming forth this evening with their testimony and the word of God. We are excited about the souls that are going to be revived this evening. Hallelujah. We are excited about the souls that are going to give their life to Christ this evening. Hallelujah, God. As we said, this is the third night of our revival. I'm still standing. And our revival scripture has come from Psalms chapter 91, verse 7, and I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Amen. I'm going to read that one more time. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Amen. And again, that is Psalms chapter 91, verse 7. And we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. Hallelujah, God. Now, this year, God has told us to do something a little different. So this evening we have our very own Reverend Charles, Elder Charles Lee, hallelujah, God. He is one of our hosts from The Turning Point, as well as one of the hosts of Roundtable Ministry, and he's going to be coming with his testimony this evening. But before he comes to you, we will be coming to you with a song of worship. And the song we will be playing this evening is Here I Am by Marvin Sapp. And for the record, we do not own the rights to the music you will hear during ministry this evening. However, we do bless God for the right to play it for the edification, the uplifting, and the encouragement of our souls. Amen. So here we come with Here I Am by Marvin Sapp.
I'm
Praise the Lord. So I want to give an honor to God, who's first in my life, and he should be first in your life. 2020 has been a rough year, but if you can hear my voice tonight, and if you can hear any voice tonight, God has been truly good and merciful to all of us. We've been going through, but we are still going through. So if you're listening to my voice tonight, God still has something for you to do. Amen. 2020 for the Lees have been kind of shaky and rough, but you know what? We're still standing on his word. Amen. God said that none of his words will come back to us void. Amen. And just by standing on his words, we get all kind of privileges. Amen. And I just want to read something to you real quick, because this has really helped me get through 2020. Every time I hear it, it just strengthens my soul and my spirit. It's 2 Thessalonians 2:15. It says, so then, brothers, stand. He didn't say sit. He didn't say lean. He said, stand firm and hold to the traditions. This is something that we should know, because a tradition is something that you do all the time, every year, every day. It's something that you should be used to. It says, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letters. That's a word, amen, that we all need to know and learn and push forward in 2021. It's something that we're going to have to lean on, because the devil is so busy, and he got busy in 2020. But in 2021, he has just stepped down. He done lost the championship. Amen. He's already a defeated foe. But we need to know that when we go through something, God is preparing us for something that we're not able to handle right now. When we go through adversities, all God wants us to do is stand on his word. Amen. He wants us to stand on his word, because we was getting knocked around in 2020, but God had to let me know, you know what? Everything doesn't feel good, especially even when you're being taught something, because like I said, he's preparing us for something that we're really not ready for right now. So I'm telling you, and you know, we always tell you, even on the turning point, that we're not perfect and try to be perfect, but the thing that we have to lean on is God's word, because that's the only thing that's going to take you through, only thing that's going to save you to the end and get you to the end of this race. So I'm saying in 2021, I would want you guys to love on one another a little harder, start fellowshipping a little more, because I know we needed it in 2020. Me and my wife went through so much stuff, but it's just good to have people around you, good Christian people, good strong and, you know, intercessors, you know, people that can pray for you when you can't pray for yourself. Amen? So in 2021, let's hang together just like we did in this pandemic, especially with this voting we did. The way we got out in droves to make sure we got somebody in the White House we want, we've been having somebody in the White House that was there for us all the time. Let's get together and let's start loving on one another. Amen?
Amen, amen, amen. Did y'all hear that? Hallelujah, God. Let's get together and start loving on one another, because at the end of this day, we are still standing. Hallelujah, God. No matter what the enemy may have thrown at us this year, for us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, for us who have entered into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we are still standing on a firm foundation. Hallelujah, God. I heard it in my spiritual ear. Somebody said, well, how can you say this? Because I know Mother so-and-so, and she was truly saved, and she passed away. Well, guess what? She passed away standing on a firm and sure foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And because of that foundation, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah, God. So we thank and we praise God for what he has done in the life of the Lees
And as we have been saying, we are sharing our testimony because God's word tells us that we overcome by our testimonies. Hallelujah, God, to encourage one another that what God has done for me, what God has done for you, he can do for each and the other. Hallelujah, God, for he is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. I'm just excited. It is time for us to prepare for our main course. I count it an honor and a blessing for the man of God that is coming before us this evening, Reverend Arthur Burgess III. This is truly an anointed man of God. He doesn't just come on the air and go to church and talk it, but I can honestly say that he walks what you see going on before you. He listens to the voice of the Holy Spirit and has become the microphone of God. Hallelujah, God. So right after we hear this song of worship, which is Do Not Pass Me By, the next voice after that song that you will hear will be that of our very own, Reverend Arthur Burgess III. Amen. Here is Do Not Pass Me By.
I'm crying, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Why on earth thou art do not pass me by.
Come on, if you're crying, tell them.
Please! never let go of me.
Yeah.
Don't never let go of me.
Don't ever let go of me.
I've done enough for you to leave me alone.
Yeah.
I've done enough for you to cast me aside. But I thank you for not letting go of me.
Yeah.
Thank you for not letting go of me.
Yeah.
Anybody feel like that? Thank you for not letting. Because I know the truth about me. And I know I've done enough for you to leave me alone. But I thank you.
Yeah.
For not letting go.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Don't ever let go of me. Hallelujah, God. The song says, do not pass me by. Because I'm crying, Savior, Master. Do not pass me by. There are so many people right now who are thinking that God has passed them by. But I declare and I decree by the power of God, He is never going to let go of you. He is never going to let go of you. I don't care what the circumstance look like. I don't care what the situation look like. God said He'll never, 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 never let go. He'll never let go of you. Hallelujah. There's a presence of God. There's a spirit of God. There's the essence of God wrapped up into this conversation. Whether you're online or whether you're over the phone, God is here. God is here. Hallelujah. Don't ever let go. He'll never let go of you, but don't you ever let go of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Let the word saturate the hearts of your people. Let the power of your word saturate the hearts of your people. Do not pass us by. Do not pass us by. So many people felt like 2020 was the time when they got passed by. Hallelujah. There's so many people who feel like 2020, they didn't connect with the Savior that was supposed to connect with them. There's so many people feel like they were let down and pulled astray, and some feel like they were lied to, and some were holding on to dear faith like they had no choice. But either way, we are coming out as pure gold. God, don't ever let go of us. Don't let go. We're getting too close now. It's too close to the end. I remember Grandma used to say, it's time to go home. It's time to go home. And you can't afford to let go now when it's time to go home. It's time for God to wrap this thing up. And whether He do it in my lifetime or your lifetime, wherever it is, He's soon to come. He's soon to come. We're travelers here, and he's soon to come. Hallelujah. It is revival time in the body of Christ. Some of us have have been so bound. And matter of fact, let me say this. All of us have been bound in some way this year. Till it's time for revival, time for a Holy Spirit awakening. It's time for a move of God like never before, but it's time for the body of Christ to get rejuvenated, to get replenished. Some of you need water. All of us need water. We need holy water. It's time to fill up, and that's what this revival is for. Giving honor to God, Pastor Toy, and all those who are part of PKN and all those who have helped and blessed and put their prayers and their hands and their words on this revival. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will awaken everything that lies dormant in your life. I pray right now that the Spirit of God moves in every area that seems sleep. Because it's a revival. It's time to move. And it's time to seek God's face. I want to talk to you this evening about a holy interruption. My topic for this evening is something simple. It's something real simple. It's called a holy interruption. You know, so often a lot of people will say things like you're blessed and you're highly favored and you're so blessed and God is really raining down on you. But for those who are really blessed by God, for those who understand the process of blessings, some of you, if I allowed you to really say what was on your mind, you would tell that same person that called you blessed, and you would tell them, you can have this blessing. You don't know what it cost me. You don't know what I had to go through to get it. You are seeing the end parts of what it took for God to give me what was planned for me. You are looking at an end result of a divine interruption. So many times, those who are walking in the body of Christ, we look like something that somebody admires. And I bless God to have that Holy Ghost look. I bless God to have that Holy Ghost appearance. But if they only knew what it costs to look blessed. If they only knew what it cost to have an anointing, to have a mantle over your life. I'm a young man, and I talk to a lot of young preachers, young aspiring preachers, and I tell them, if you want to look good, this is not the job for you, because when God really calls your name, he will interrupt your entire life. When you receive a call from the Holy Ghost, you might as well throw every plan you ever had out the window. Your agenda no longer counts. What you thought you had in mind no longer appears relevant, because the Spirit of God will fall on you and he will put you in places you never knew existed. You'll land in situations that you never knew could happen. And you are still called to be a light. You are still called to be a leader. You are still called to be somebody else's standard. I know nobody's able to talk back to me right now. But if you could just talk through your phone or your computer, I need somebody to act like you're preaching with me and tell the person next to you text somebody on the line, put up a Facebook or Instagram post, and I need you to say a holy interruption. Let us look to the Word of God. Luke 1, 26, 32. And the Word says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You see that word blessed again. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. In other words, in English, what you talking about? What you mean? Blessed and highly favored. 33 says, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there should be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I'm going to pause for a minute. Mary, a righteous woman of God, about to be married to Joseph. And God steps in and says, You are going to be blessed and highly favored. But here's what the blessing looked like. The blessing was in a form of the Messiah. The blessing was in the form of the Holy Spirit coming down and resting on her. But the blessing was also in the form of an interruption. Mary ready to be wed, ready to put on her dress, ready to have this big celebration between family members, ready to look so beautiful and see her husband and be one with the man that she loved. This was supposed to be the most precious time of her life. This was supposed to be the big moment, everything that she's ever desired wrapped up into this moment. This was supposed to be the star attraction, her wedding day. I remember my wedding day 10 years ago because my anniversary is January 1st. And I don't know if y'all follow me on social media or not, but my wife all year have been dropping very noticeable, obvious hints. I don't know if they're called hints anymore. She was just blatantly saying, I want a 10-year anniversary ring. And then she posted on social media that not only did she want a 10-year anniversary ring, she wanted chocolate diamonds on yellow diamonds and white diamonds and rose gold. She was extremely specific, so I don't believe that's a hint. I just believe she just came out and said what she wanted. So we spent an entire year with her sending me pictures, posting on Instagram and Facebook, tagging my name in it and saying, hey, this is what I want for my 10 years of marriage. And I remember our wedding day because our wedding day was like no other. It was on January 1st, the New Year's Day. It was a beautiful wedding. It was pink roses and chocolate roses. And that's why she got the rose gold and the chocolate diamonds. We had chocolate roses and pink roses throughout the entire wedding. It was our colors was white, chocolate, and pink. We had 10 bridesmaids and 10 groomsmen. We had an elaborate wedding. I remember because it cost me $10,000. I want my money back, but I can't say that. I can't just tell people that I want my $10,000 back. I wish I had, you know, put it into something else, and maybe. But to God be the glory. We had an amazing wedding. My wife was 4 hours late. I like to tell people that because that's the truth. I was sitting there for 4 hours in the auditorium with all my groomsmen, and everybody is looking at me like, where she's at? Well, she had to get ready, and then 10 other women had to get ready. So if y'all wanted them to be on time, I don't know what miracle that would have been. I think that was a little harder than this Messiah miracle, getting 10 women ready on time. I don't know. We're going to have to talk about that later with God. But I remember my wedding day. One of the most precious moments of my life. My wedding day and the birth of my children, of course. These are moments you cherish, you never lose sight of. And I know if I had that feeling, Mary had that expectation. And right when she's ready to have the time of her life, God changes the plan. Can God trust you in an interruption? Can God trust you when things turn left, when things don't look like they're going the way they should, when there's a curveball in the plan, when the plan gets thrown in the garbage and something else comes up new? Can God trust you with an interruption? Can his Holy Spirit fall on you, and can he give you a specific task to carry out even when you have been inconvenienced? So many of us want this convenient Christian lifestyle. I don't know what that means, to be conveniently saved. I don't know what it means to be conveniently ministering. I don't understand how can you live in convenience and serve God when Jesus Christ's entire life was an inconvenience. Starting with leaving his home in heaven to coming down on earth, inconvenience. Mary was inconvenienced with a holy interruption. Matthew 1:19-21. I'm going to read the word. Let's go. And it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted in God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had been in him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Men and women of the Most High, I just want to tell you right now that if my wife ever came to me and said, I'm pregnant, but it's God's baby, the only way I'm going to believe this story is if the angels and God and Moses and maybe Elijah came down themselves, had a conversation with me over dinner, and said, hey, it's God's baby. Maury would have had to be there, maybe Oprah, and maybe Gail too. I promise you this would have had to been a grand meeting for me to say, okay, God, if this is your baby, you're going to have to show me. Joseph was planning on a wedding, planning on marrying the love of his life, planning on marrying the woman he waited all his life for. And yet here comes an interruption. Here comes a divine, holy interruption on every plan that he ever had. Mind you, Mary was called. Mary was called. But Joseph still had to be a part of the process. I'm telling you right now that sometimes your calling affects everybody. For those who think they're just married and only the spouse is called, no, honey, I got a newsflash, you're called too. For those who think that only the pastor has to listen to God and only has to pray to God, I'm giving you a holy interruption. I'm letting you know right now, but the pastor ain't the only person that got to pray. The pastor ain't the only person that got to lay hands. You better get off your butt too. You got some praying to do. You got some witnessing to do. He can't do all the work. She can't do all the work. It's a team effort. Because when I get interrupted, you get interrupted too. We are one body. One person didn't go through this pandemic. The entire world did. One person didn't wake up and see that COVID-19 was taking over an entire globe. All of us person didn't get affected. Millions did. And if you don't recognize that we are part of one cycle, we're part of one community, the body says we are one body. When you don't realize that we are in this together, you will lose sight that we all have to deal with our own interruptions. We all have to answer the call. Not just those who look like they're in authority. Not just those who look like they're blessed. We all have a mantle. We all have an altar. We all have a mission. Joseph wanted to put her away until he got a word from God. I'm telling somebody that word is coming. That word of God is coming. I know you're trying to figure out what to do right now. I know that your life has been interrupted, but God's word is coming. You better stand fast. Be unmovable. The word is coming. You better stay there, right there where God can talk to you. The word is coming. You are not being left behind. You are not being passed by. That word is coming, but you have to believe God. You got to believe God. Got to believe God. Luke 2:7 says, And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. because there was no room for them in the end. If anybody really studied, I know Elder was on the line giving his testimony, and he told me about him going to Georgia, and I told him, I said, I'm a Georgia boy, and if anybody understands about swaddling clothing, I know it looks good and cute in the movies. I know it looks like, you know, it looks wonderful when it's lit up throughout the holidays and people drive by outside their churches and outside the houses and see the nativity set up. But if anybody knew what swaddling clothing and a manger really was, swaddling rags are what they use to wipe up the milk from the animals. It's dirty, filthy rags that they use to wipe up the residue of milk so it won't smell like sour inside the stables. A manger is not that cute little crib that we see on TV. The manger is what they use to put the animal's food in. It's the pen that they use to put the animal's food in. And when it's time to feed the animals, they fill up the manger so that the animals can eat. Our Savior was wrapped up in filthy rags and put inside the same thing that animals eat out of. Our Savior was wrapped up in filth. I just want somebody to understand that in order for you to get what God has for you, in order for you to get to what God has for you in this life, in order for you to receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit, you are going to have to unwrap some filthy things. You are going to have to get down and dirty. You are going to have to see what God has for you, because the only way we're going to get to Jesus is if we go through some dirty things. If we're going to have to unwrap some filthy situations, through some unwanted processes. So we're going to have to deal with some interruptions, because the only way we're going to get to Jesus is if we go through the dirt with him. He said in his word that we should take up our cross daily. Ain't nowhere in the world you're going to get Jesus without getting dirty. Jesus came here in dirt. And just to let you know, not only did he come here in dirt, he died with your dirt attached to him. He did not just start with dirt, he ended with dirt. But because there was no dirt in him, only on him, he was able to be your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, don't worry about what's on you. God is in you. Don't worry about what's on you. God is in you. I'm going to say it a third time so somebody can catch it. Don't worry about what's on you. God is in you. Whenever something gets on you, shake that thing off. You better get ready to get dirty, because you have the Holy Spirit right in you. I know it's an interruption. I know it's an inconvenience, but that's what you're signed up for. That's what you decided to take on. So COVID-19, pandemic, wherever it could be, lose your job, lose your house, whatever the situation looks like, you are still called for duty. You have an obligation to carry out the word of God. And I don't care what it looks like right now, you will see the Spirit of God come out your dirt. Don't let go. Don't ever let go. Jesus is in the filth. Jesus is in the dirt. Jesus is in the thing that you hide. Jesus is in the thing that you don't want to face. Jesus is in the thing that you try not to deal with. Jesus is in the fight. He's in the struggle. He's in the dirt. You better be willing to unwrap. Unwrap the film. Sometimes It looks harder than what it is. And sometimes it's harder to do the right thing than it is to go with the flow. But no matter what it takes, be prepared to go through it all. He said in his word, he said that in this world, you may have peace, but you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have come and overcame it all. In other words, I know it looks bad, but if I did it, you can do it too. If I can be honest with you, just real quick, and I'm about to wrap this thing up. This year has been the hardest year of my ministerial life. Never have I done so many funerals. Never had I had to pray over so many people in the hospital in my life. Never had I had to do ministry in so many different ways. I had to learn how to touch people without touching people, how to witness and connect with people without actually being with them. I have never had to do this ever. And so many people in the body of Christ have had to adjust, have had to adapt, and have had to serve. We don't get to stop being shepherds because it's hard to maintain the sheep. You don't get to put down your tools and stop guarding the flock because it's hard to tend. This is where you get creative. Joseph, Mary couldn't have a conventional birth, so they made it work. We as a body have to know how to make it work. And here's what else I believe. For those who are discouraged, who feel like God is passing them by, who feels like they're ready to give up, God says, I draw nigh to the brokenhearted. If you are hurting right now, if you are suffering right now, this is when God gets closer. This is when God overshadows you. He says, I'm connected to the brokenhearted. I'm connected to those who feel like they're lost and who are ready to give up, who feel like they are abandoned. He said, I feel for you too much. This life has an expected end. And the end of the story is that we get to be with our Savior. We get to praise our Lord in person. And I don't know about you, but the end of that story is better than any story I can get on this earth. Somebody right now was wondering, how do I have that expected end? How do I get to see Jesus? How do I get to one day having a life of no trouble, having a life of no sickness, no pain, no suffering. How do I get that opportunity? And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, then it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What I'm telling you right now, and if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he rose for your sins, and he's coming back, if you confess that you are a sinner saved by grace through faith, then you are acclimated into the body. You are now a family member. We good cousins. And when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a right promise of the kingdom. So I believe that somebody made that confession, that somebody decided to make Jesus their Lord. I believe that somebody has decided to take on the mantle. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to lie to you. This road is not easy. This lifestyle has challenges. But the reward will always be bigger than the interruption. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you are doing. You are sending a Holy Ghost revival, a Holy Ghost interruption, and the divine power of the Holy Spirit is awakening your people. For those who I believe have taken on the mantle of salvation, who have confessed with their mouths and believed with their heart that you died and rose, and that they have confessed that they are sinners, ready to be born again. When they made that confession, I believe that somebody accepted you. So God, I ask that you rain down on them, that you uplift your people. Depression, anxiety no longer lives in the body of Christ. No longer will we deal with our problems as if the world deals with them. But God, we cast all our cares on you. Father, we pray that your Spirit sends boldness to your people in these last days. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We turn it over to our Pastor Toy. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise it. Did y'all hear? Oh, praise the Lord. A holy interruption. Hallelujah, God. And I don't know about you, but when you look at everything that has gone on throughout 2002, you feel like you have been placed in a holy interruption. But did you hear what the man of God told us? If we stand firm and hold on, hallelujah, God, the end, I'm going to say it like the word of God said it, our ladder will be greater, hallelujah, God. I just bless God for Reverend Arthur Burgess III in the word of God that has come forth from him this evening. I bless God by faith for the souls we believe came to Christ this evening. I bless God for the revival, hallelujah, of his Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. This is just night three, y'all, and each night it has gotten better and better and better. Hallelujah. Tomorrow evening is night four. Hallelujah. God's blessings are going to flow even more on night four. Hallelujah, God. We ask you to join in with us at 9 p.m. We will have our own Reverend Aaron Williams bringing the word of God tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. I'm telling y'all, I don't know about you, but each night that I have gotten off of the revival, my soul has just been more and more rejoiced. Hallelujah. Each night I just come off feeling more ecstatic, more excited, more, just more. Hallelujah, God. So again, join us tomorrow evening for Reverend Aaron Williams. He will be coming to us at 9 p.m. And if I'm not mistaken, the testimony will be coming from our very own Minister Robert Hudson. He will be bringing testimony tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you. Reach out and let somebody know that we are in revival. Hallelujah. Let your friends and family know that they need to come and end their year in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Shake off that old and put on the new in the presence of God. Hallelujah, God. We thank and praise God for each and every one of you. Again, we thank and praise God for the man of God, Reverend Arthur Burgess. It is in your hands to close us out. Amen.
Amen, amen. You know, the Spirit of God is just so powerful, and he's so gentle. Sometimes we forget that God is in our still moments. But we also have to remember that the Bible says that David said his elevation came when there was turmoil. He said, matter of fact, it didn't say turmoil, it said great turmoil. He said his elevation came when there was great turmoil. And I believe right now, and with the power of God, just being over this revival, that we need to reevaluate how we thought this year turned out. Because I believe that somebody has been increased, that somebody has been elevated, that somebody has stepped into a level of maturity, a level of faith, a level of power that they've never received before, that somebody has grown in the body of Christ and has taken the next step, have tapped into the next thing, has stepped into the next realm of the Spirit because of an interruption, because pandemic, because of life. Don't throw this year away. Savor it. Because when the Holy Spirit releases you, not one man is going to be able to contain what God is letting go. When you are finally molded for the next step of your life, get ready for an explosion that the world has never seen. But first you have to change your mind. The Bible says renew your mind daily. First you have to change your mind about what you see and focus on what God is going to do. I believe that deliverance is coming, that healing is coming, that there will be ministries birthed out of sacrifice, that there will be businesses birthed out of sacrifice. God is invading your creativity. God is growing your creativity. And I see it in PKN. Every revival gets higher and higher. Every moment gets bigger and bigger, because adversity was not a sign to stop. It was a sign to press. Pray that God gives you the strength to press, and that you see the purpose in the pain, and that the Holy Spirit comes on you the same way it came on Mary and Joseph. To God be the glory, and may God be with you in your revival. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus,
God bless you.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
Save me.